This is Cavs head coach J.B. Bickerstaff, and you're listening to the Kenny and JT Show on News Talk 1480 WHBC.
Hey, as big of a series as this is for Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley and Darius Garland and Jared Allen, their performance on the court, it's just as big of a series for the head coach, J.B. Bickerstaff, who was outcoached last year by Tom Thibodeau, but he's going against, I think it's Jamal Mosley, who's a young guy as well, young coach in the league. So maybe J.B. has the experience over him like Tibbs had over J.B. last year. But game one tomorrow, 1 o'clock right here on WHBC. You'll be able to watch it as well on Bally's, as they'll be doing all the first round games. And to talk more about that and the matchup, let's go to the hotline and we bring in the outstanding TV voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers and the smartest man I know, John Michael. How are you, J. Mike?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're great, man. Better whenever we get a chance to talk to you to, inform us and correct us whenever we say things wrong, because that happens, well, every other, 5-10 minutes on this show. So, J. Mike, let's go back to last year. And you were there. You got to see it up close and personal courtside, right? How big of a difference was it for the Cavaliers last year in that Knicks series as far as the physicality goes? And do you think they'll be better suited to handle it this year?
Well, I think, for starters, the Knicks are a physical team to begin with. And I think when the Knicks had success early in terms of that physicality in games one and two, all it did was ramp it up. You know, they knew what they needed to do. They got more physical. And without question, the Cavs left that series saying, we need to be more physical. And I think we've heard the Cavs talk about that throughout this season, even at the beginning of the season, let alone more recently. Jared Allen just said a couple of days ago, we need to come out and we need to throw the first punch. And when you look at this Orlando team, this is a physical ball club. I mean, you look at Mo Wagner, you look at Wendell Carter Jr., you look at some of these guys, they can lay the wood on you. So the Cavs know that they're coming. Jamal Mosley knows that he wants to play a physical brand of basketball when they play us. So, I think we're in for something tomorrow afternoon, guys. I mean, I think early we're going to find out a lot in terms of that physicality, in terms of how well the Cavs are prepared to handle that physicality. And I think we're going to learn a lot in the first, maybe even the first quarter, guys, about what we're in for the rest of the series.
Jay Mike, is it fair to say this team was inconsistent this season, even with all the injuries? I mean, we didn't know from a nightly basis what to expect offensively. It seemed like sometimes they moved the ball better than other nights. Is that due to just the injury bug, or are we looking for something else now that we are in the playoffs and we look to be a little bit more physical, slow it down, so to speak, play more of a half-court game?
Well, there's two parts of the question. One is that I think it's fair to say there were a lot of moving pieces this season. You know, I mean, the Cavs at times were playing without two-fifths or even three-fifths of their starting lineup. You know, and it's obviously very difficult in this sport to find a rhythm when you're missing some of your big weapons, you know, your big arsenal. And that's the, you know, what the Cavs were living with for really a large portion of this season. So now you come to the playoffs, and yes, does the game tend to slow down a little bit? Yeah, it doesn't tend to be more half court. It does. So I think that, you know, the Cavs seem to find a rhythm going into the All-Star break, moving the basketball around, hitting their threes. I think that's going to be at a premium. Not even the three part as much, guys, but moving the ball, getting the defense, manipulating the defense, getting the defense to move east-west. The Cavs know it. I mean, it's no secret. It's not like they don't know what was effective. It's just that at times, once you get into the playoffs and things slow down, that they tend to run a lot of pick and roll. You know, they tend to run individual plays that don't require a lot of ball movement, and they know what they want to do, but sometimes you just get forced back into those habits. And in the case of last season, Kenny, you asked that question, the Knicks played it that way. Yeah. You know, the Knicks were blitzing Donovan Mitchell and basically begging the Cavs to play pick and roll, and the Cavs did. And you'd hope that this season, you know, they're in a position where they can recognize that. We had some young guys out there last season. It wasn't the most seasoned bunch in terms of playoff experience. They have that series under their belt, and we're going to find out real soon if that experience is going to pay off against a Magic team that is the least experienced team of all of the teams remaining right now in the postseason.
Yeah, and here's the way I'm looking at it. We've had various members of the Cavs media or radio as well as TV teams on with us all week, okay? And I look at this, and I guess this is what I'm hopeful for, J. Mike, and that is that the Magic will be the Cavs of last year, right? First time in the playoffs, yeah, maybe win one or two games, but maybe get overwhelmed, or to use a Jared Allen term, the spotlight was too bright. Shouldn't we hope or expect that the Cavs are the more experienced team and Orlando may have some of those issues?
I think we as fans should hope that, but boy, the Cavs can't approach it like that. You know, when you look at Orlando, outside of Joe Ingles and Gary Harris, they only have two other guys who have even been to the playoffs, and their playoff experience has been limited to 10 games or fewer. Cavs, on the other hand, have five players who have played 40 games or more in the postseason, eight others who have appeared in the postseason. So, yeah, Kenny, on paper, it stacks up that way. But on the other hand, this is a young Orlando team that's shown up in the last couple of seasons that they just play hard for 48 minutes and don't care almost. You know what I mean? Like, they just play hard. They get up and down the floor. They go end-to-end. So on the flip side, they don't know what they don't know. And my anticipation is that, the coaching staff's anticipation, is they're going to come in here hard. Playoff experience or no playoff experience, they're going to play the way that's gotten them out of the cellar of the Eastern Conference a mere two seasons ago and ascended this team all the way into a guaranteed playoff spot. That's how they've gotten here. That's how they've played since Jamal Mosley took over a couple of seasons ago. And that's what I think everybody expects come 1 o'clock tomorrow in Game 1.
Jay Mike, whether the lights were too bright or not, the fact remains MSG versus the Kia Center. Tell us about where the Cavaliers will be playing when they go to Orlando. It can't be anything close, can it?
Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, just the feel in that building, it's more laid back. What's interesting is this is a team that hasn't been to the postseason in a while, and they haven't won a first-round series since, you know, the Dwight Howard times. I mean, so it's been a while for this team. Now, when we think back to those old, you know, Cavs Magic series, it's a place that can get jumping. I think any building in the NBA can get jumping, but is it different than Madison Square Garden? Yeah, I mean, there's almost nothing like Madison Square Garden in the entire NBA. So we'll see how that plays. You know, we'll see how that affects this series. We'll see how it plays into it. Hopefully the Cavs, you know, have a win or two under their belts before they head down to Orlando, but we're going to find out. Yeah, JT, a little bit different, but again, I expect that place to be loud. You know, they've seen playoff basketball in that building before, and we're going to find out in games 3 and 4.
John Michael is our guest, the TV voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers. And, Jay Mike, for our listeners out there that want to watch it, okay, if they're not in their car, they want to watch it, you guys will be doing all the game on Bally's, right, all the games?
Yeah, that's the expectation. The first six, for sure, if it goes to a Game 7, the only time we wouldn't be on Bally's is if the game's also on ABC. If the game's on ESPN or TNT or anywhere else, we'll also be doing the game. So for my understanding is for now, we're doing the first six for sure and potentially Game 7 if we get there.
And Jay Mike, when you, I guess, get prepared for a seven-game series, how different is it for you as a broadcaster? And then how does that translate for the players and coaches as well, where they're going to play the same team potentially for seven straight games?
For us, it's interesting. It reminds me of my baseball days, Kenny. You know, when you prepare for a four-game series, if you use 90% of, you know, what's in your bag in game one, it's going to be a long game, 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
So you try to spread it out. You try to, you know, figure out. We have a lot of prep time, though. I mean, this is unprecedented in terms of what you're dealing with during the regular season. I mean, we've had 6 full days to sit back and, you know, absorb what's taken place during the season. So we've had a lot of prep time. We're ready to go. For the players, I think it's almost easier. It turns into everybody has the scouting report, right? And during the regular season, sometimes you only have 24 hours at times to you know, put that into place.
Right.
And to, you know what you want to do with that scouting report. Now you have tons of time. You know what the scouting report is. There are no surprises. You know what every player is shooting from three. You know which player is the foul and what player is not the foul. You know who to go over screens on and go under screens on. You know all that. So once game one is in the books, now it's adjustments. Okay, do we like this matchup? Do we like this matchup? What worked? What didn't? So there's, I think, to in that regard, there's more work for the coaching staff, right? I mean, we're all in the same spot right now. The Magic know what the Cavs do. The Cavs know what the Magic do. But after game one is in the books, that's when the real coaching begins. And that's when the scheming starts, and that's when the adjusting and the anticipating begins. So I these are two pretty evenly matched teams. They split the season series, two games apiece. They're only one win apart in the win column this season. Like I mentioned, the Magic played the Cavaliers hard in all four games. They're going to come at the Cavs. I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. I think we're in for a good series, guys, which starts tomorrow.
JB, I mean, John, if you're going to put yourself in JB's shoes, how deep does he use this depth chart, this roster? Because should we expect Sam Merrill if he's healthy, or do we go maybe seven, maybe eight deep?
Better question for JB than JT. But if history shows anything, JB likes to cut that rotation down. You know, at times the Cavs have gone 9, even 10 deep, but that's not really JB's style, and he'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. And during the postseason, 8 seems to be where his comfort zone is. If it is 8, it's going to be LeVert, Okoro, and Niang. Unless there are mismatches, okay, or unless he could figure something out, or unless we need, let's say, more bulk, more physicality, and you want a Marcus Morris, or you want a Tristan Thompson, or say the Cavs are able to exploit the 3-point line, and you want to put in a Sam Merrill, right? But mm-hmm, that's going to depend upon how he sees the matchups. It's going to depend upon how comfortable he is going deep into that bench. But if history shows anything, JB likes to go around 8 players in the playoffs, but we'll see. I think time's going to tell as this series unfolds, and, you know, obviously he's going to play it the way. The nice thing, guys, is if you look back at the rosters and the box scores from last season in the playoffs, you'll look at that bench and you'll say, wow, I thought we had more off that bench. Yeah. You know, you look at this bench now, obviously the Cavs brought in Max Strus, they brought in George Niang, Sam Merrill's playing on a regular basis, Thompson, Morris, all playoff experience, all guys who they've brought in. And when you compare the two, you'll be surprised. I was surprised. I just looked back at the box scores recently, about a week ago, that, boy, I just thought we had more coming off the bench. The Cavs have plenty coming off the bench now. The question is, where and when are they going to use it as the series rolls along?
Kenny looks at the box score and says, I know why the Cavaliers lost last night. They probably shot 44 to 47 times from 3.
Yeah.
But I look at this matchup, John Michael, and I look and I say, okay, wait a minute. From what we saw in the regular season, and I know it's a different series now, is that Orlando likes to clog the paint. Isn't that the way you want to attack this team? And if you do, I think if he's healthy, you've got to see some Sam Merrill and shoot the 3.
Sam Merrill had a big game in Orlando against this very team earlier this season. So, again, we'll see. Orlando has had a ton of success defensively, period, this season. This is a top-5 defense mm-hmm. in the NBA, and they do like to pack it in. That's the way they play the game. They have some athletic guards who can chase you around the perimeter, starting with Jalen Suggs, who's going to be all over Donovan Mitchell. We can expect that throughout the course of the series. Have the Cavs had some success hitting 3s against the Magic this season and last season with the same, you know, schematic defense look? Yeah, they have. So, you know, we're going to find out. And again, like I said, I think the adjustments are really going to be interesting, the way these two teams play it. You know, the Cavs on paper are deeper. The Cavs certainly are more experienced in the playoffs. I think JB has the luxury of having a number of different styles that he can play with the Morrises and the Thompson coming off that bench, or the Merrills coming off the bench. And that to me is what makes this such a wildly interesting series, though, which kicks off tomorrow afternoon.
All right, you're the smartest man I know. Not that I don't trust Tim Alcorn. Love Tim Alcorn. I trust him, but you're the smartest man I know. How do you pronounce his name? We've looked it up, hyphenetically, how they pronounce it, how you say it. I went to apps to tell me how to pronounce his name. Is it Paolo Banchero? Is it Paolo Banchero? How do you say it on TV?
It's Banchero. Just bank, like you're going to the bank. Banchero. Paolo Banchero.
Paolo Bank.
No ch in there at all. There's just Paolo Banchero.
Paolo Banchero. All right, very good. See? Mm-hmm. Nobody can explain it to us better than that, right? Real simple.
I explained it to you 2 weeks ago. You don't listen to me.
For obvious reasons. Jeez. But if John Michael tells me that, I'm going to listen to him.
Come on.
100%. Jay, Mike, let's talk a little bit about Banchero then. How good can he be in this series?
Well, Banchero, you want to talk about a guy who's come into his own. He's only in his second season. This season was the youngest player in NBA history to lead his team in points, rebounds, and assists. Nobody younger has ever done it than Banchero. Like I said, he's in his second season, number one overall pick. And, you know, if you think back to the draft just two summers ago, most mock drafts didn't have him going number one. And Orlando surprised some folks by taking Banchero number one overall, but it has really paid off for this club and reaped dividends. He can do it all. He's really good in the mid-range, guys. That's something to keep an eye on. He is top 10, in fact, top 5 in terms of mid-range shooting in the NBA. The Cavs want to get to him early. He's not as comfortable from three-point land, but, boy, when he gets into that mid-range, if he can't drive, he's really comfortable taking the step back, taking that mid-range jumper. So that's something certainly to keep an eye on as this series unfolds. The Magic are an interesting team. They don't shoot the three particularly well. Their second leading scorer, Franz Wagner, he's sub 30% from long range, yet he still averaged around 20 points per game this season. So it's an interesting mix. They do have a few players who can beat you, who can make you pay from long range, but for the most part, they're guys who like to get it inside. They like to drive. They like to crash the glass and play aggressive basketball, and I think that's what we're going to see starting tomorrow.
All right, J. Mike. Which Cavalier has to play at peak performance in this series for them to have a chance to win that is not named Donovan Mitchell?
Well, I tell you this, and I've said this before, the player that people don't talk about a lot who may have the most impact outside of the big names is Isaac Okoro. You know, when you look at a Cavs defensive club, I mean, that's the Cavs' identity. On defense, and a lot of people point to the Cavs, you know, that road trip out west when the Cavs were up and down and struggled late in the season. Cavs were without Isaac Okoro for four of those five games. And when you're playing a team with multiple superstars, and I don't know if the Magic are quite in that category, they have multiple really good young players, but particularly when you're in a series against a team with multiple superstars, and you look at the Cavs road trip, Denver, multiple superstars, Phoenix, both L.A. teams, and you don't have your best perimeter defender in Isaac Okoro, you are fighting a really uphill battle. Isaac is going to be big. I think he's going to play a lot, even though he's coming off the bench. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes in this series. Banchero has not fared well against Okoro, and those two have been matched up in terms of the shooting percentage when guarded by Okoro in the four games in the regular season. So I think he's going to see a lot of Isaac. And to me, Isaac, he's always that answer almost for me, Kenny. You know, Isaac's going to be a big part of what they do defensively. I think the other easy answer is Jared Allen. I think a lot of people are interested to see how Jared's going to play in the postseason after last season, you know, what he did against New York. He's been the first one to say he wasn't thrilled about the way that looked. He wants to bounce back. He wants to have a big series. So a lot of eyes are going to be on the big man in the middle and Jared Allen as well.
We'll be watching, J. Mike. We always appreciate the time and the knowledge, and have a great call, and we'll talk to you again throughout the playoffs, all right?
Thanks so much, guys.